We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
Judge Gorsuch has not had occasion to rule directly on a case involving Roe. However, his writings do raise questions.
For a judge who likes every outcome he reaches is probably a pretty bad judge, stretching for policy results he prefers rather than those the law compels.
William Paul Young is an extremely dangerous Bible twister who's not bringing to you what Scripture says. He's bringing to you a theology crafted in his own heart.
Northern Michiganders love issues, etc.
It was summertime in northern Michigan.
So you've heard the old saying, close or close enough only counts in horseshoes and hand grenades. What about journalism? Journalism is detail work, isn't it? It is very fine detail work. You want to get every detail you include right, and accuracy does count, at least it should, in journalism today. What about the kind of mistakes that really shouldn't be made in journalism? Recent coverage of the renovation of a shrine at the Church of the Holy Sepulchre had a pretty glaring error in it, an error of fact that was made by nonetheless than the Associated Press. Now, they have corrected, I believe, their error, but the fact that it slipped through is kind of concerning. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc., coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Terry Mattingly joins us to talk about the coverage of that story in the Associated Press and other news outlets, the big ones, not the little ones, and subsequently of the Easter Truth. After that, Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer will be our guest to talk about the bound conscience and idolatry. There's a very peculiar view of the bound conscience, an old concept in Reformation theology that is being used by some of the theological descendants of Luther in liberal Lutheranism to justify the acceptance of, well, just about anything and everything, especially when it comes to human sexuality. We'll talk about that. Dr. Corey Moss will join us at the end of the program. We're going to talk about Luther on liberty and free speech. Terry Mattingly is a regular guest. He joins us to talk about an Associated Press story about the complete renovation of a shrine at the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. He's Senior Fellow for Media and Religion at the King's College in New York City and author of a weekly On Religion column for the Universal Syndicate and the book Pop Goes Religion. He's founder and editor of Get Religion. Terry, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Glad to be here.
You say that in terms of covering what's going on in the church, this is a dangerous time for editors this time of year. What do you mean?
Well, I mean, stop and think about it this way. How often, there's several levels to this thing, or layers to this onion. First of all, everybody knows it's Easter coming. Holy Week is coming. But it's not like Christmas, where you've got all of these cultural things you can write about. So everybody knows it's coming, and everybody knows it has something to do with, you know, Christianity, Jesus, whatever. How many cover stories can you remember seeing on national magazines in the week or two before Easter on either Jesus didn't exist, God is dead, you know, why the Bible's wrong on sex? You know, I mean, it's national, get people's attention with a cover story about religion time. They do a little bit of that at Christmas, but it really tends to show up at Easter. So one thing, everybody knows it's an important topic because Easter's coming. Yet, gosh, it's awfully complicated. And, you know, I think we need to cut journalists a bit of slack here. I think we can assume that people might know a few things about the Christian faith. I mean, I'm still surprised when the New York Times publishes a feature about a book or an art exhibit or something and includes in it that this is the site where Jesus is buried, present tense. I mean, you kind of expected them to have heard of the resurrection. Maybe somehow that filtered through, you know, in the culture. But we also need to understand that this is a perfect example of why newsrooms need experienced, trained religion specialists. Now, think of all of the details that you and I do not know about Islam. I mean, I can't even, the more I learn about Islam, the main thing I'm learning is how much I don't know about Islam. Does that make sense? Well, to some degree, we're a generation or two or three into the fact that basics of Christianity or details of Christianity might not have been mentioned in any kind of schools anywhere in the lives of a lot of these people. As you know, I also blame Christian schools a lot for this. I mean, we have spent 50 or 60 years throwing mud at journalism and never saying anything positive about it, and our schools have done very little to raise up secular-level qualified journalists. So there may not be anybody at the copy desk, this is to get specific to a recent post to get religion, there may not be anyone at the desk of the Associated Press who realizes, let me give you a specific example from a post that just went up at Get Religion. The tagline for the photograph in an article I wrote about a mistake that was made concerning the Church of the Holy Sepulchre in Jerusalem and the structure that contains what's left of the tomb of Jesus, the cave. That whole mountainside has been carved away to build the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, but they left the bedrock of the tomb, and that's called the edicule, so that people understand this. Anyway, here's a cut line that is still up as of this morning at the Associated Press for a story. The story has been corrected, but they still haven't corrected the photo credit. So listen to this. The renovated edicule is seen in the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, traditionally believed to be the site of the crucifixion of Jesus Christ in Jerusalem's Old City. A Greek restoration team has completed a historic renovation of the edicule, the shrine that tradition says houses the cave where Jesus was buried and rose to heaven. Okay, spot the error.
Well, Christians do not believe that Jesus was somehow translated from death to heaven. We believe he bodily rose from the dead there.
There's 40 days of reported sightings, communication. They met their Lord. He ate fish. I mean, you've got a whole bunch of New Testament stuff before you get to the Ascension. And, of course, the Ascension is a major feast day in ancient Christian churches to this day. Well, obviously, nobody knew that involved in the creation of this story, who was sent to cover a major story in Jerusalem. And originally, this is what the story led with. Now, but just to give you an idea of how complicated things can get, I've had several readers write in and say, well, there's another error in there. Since the Church of the Holy Sepulchre traditionally believed to be the site of the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. Well, Protestants have written in and said, no, the tomb isn't in the same place as Golgotha, whereas the ancient church, because of where the walls were in Jerusalem at the time, since the 2nd or 3rd century, they believe that Golgotha and the Garden Tomb are actually quite close to each other, and that both of those sites are inside the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. Obviously, whoever wrote this cut line didn't know that either. And obviously, lots of Protestants don't realize that there is a historical case for both of those sites being contained within this very unusual, sprawling church, the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. So what I'm trying to get across here is I'm not surprised people make mistakes on some of these things. I'm surprised that journalists make so many mistakes about very basic ideas in the Christian faith in a land in which we still like to think that there's some sort of cultural saturation of basic facts or belief about Christianity. At least that's what shows up in polls. So this is complicated stuff. A reader wrote in with what I thought is the great way of framing this. So this is a little bit long, but I want to read it to our listeners. This is an excellent email that came in. Actually, it was left as a comment on our website. I have a couple of journalistic questions for Terry. Now, this is in response to the Associated Press error on Jesus being raised from the tomb to heaven. Do big-time papers make these kinds of errors with religions other than Christianity? To me, it seems like a basic matter of respect to find out about someone's deepest beliefs when writing about them. Second, one thing I've wondered as a longtime reader of Get Religion, as well as a listener to Issues, etc., is whether these kinds of basic factual errors are unique to the religion beat, or is it a symptom of general ignorance and lack of professional competence? It seems like with many stories where I know something about the subject, whether religious or not, there are statements of fact that strike me as wrong. Is there a lot of general sloppiness in journalism made by writers who think they know more than they do, or is this a problem specific to religion stories? First of all, there's several things I'd like to say in response to that. Number one, the current crisis in advertising is causing the cutting of a lot of staffs. We also need to realize that a lot of journalists are having to do double, triple, or quadruple duty, and they're doing it on the internet, which is like a black hole in space that sucks content 24/7. A lot of people are writing and editing way faster than they used to, and they're doing more work, and we need to have at least a little bit of sympathy for their plight. And I say that even as someone who still publicizes these mistakes, because I think it's important to realize when mistakes do make it into print. We also, this is a subject where I think journalists think they know more about Christianity than they do, or they don't care how little they know. But I think right now it is accurate to say that journalists are more careful covering Islam because or other world faiths because they know it, they know they don't know it, so they're very careful to try to find out. So they fact-checked themselves more often on other world religions than on this religion they kind of halfway think they know. And then one other thing that you know, that a point that I think really needs to be made. On other topics, there are subjects that matter more to journalists than religion in general. That's what our entire website is about. It's what my whole career has been about. When I was a junior in college, my mentor, the great journalism professor David McCam motioned me over in a bit of a, there was a screw-up related to religion at the college paper, and he said, these students have learned, they didn't learn it from me, but they've learned it from looking at newspapers, that American journalists don't think religion matters. And then he said to me, I think religion is the worst covered subject in all of American journalism. You want to do something about that? And that's basically where I got my vocation and calling that day. Was recognizing the truth of his words. Religion is a uniquely badly covered subject. Science, I mean, a friend of mine once quipped, he said, it's amazing that journalists don't know anything about Christmas and Easter, yet they know all kinds of factual stuff about global warming, DNA sequencing, you know, and whatever. These other complicated topics, I think they're more humble about what they don't know. And they care about these subjects more, so they don't want to make mistakes about them. I think there's less of a sense of humility about religion, specifically Christian religion, and that people just kind of, they think they know it. Does that make sense?
Terry Mattingly is our guest. We're talking about an Associated Press story about the complete renovation of a shrine, the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, and some basic factual errors. It wasn't only the Associated Press. It's also the New York Times. We'll talk about that after this.
Dr. Anthony Eslin will be speaking on the topic of imagination and education at the second annual Wittenberg Academy Family Retreat, which will be held at Camp Okoboji in Milford, Iowa on April 27th through the 29th, 2017. Join us and be immersed in God's Word, thoughtful discussions, and family fun. For more information or to register, visit www.wittenbergacademy.org and click on the registration tab.
Listen to the best of the church's music for the season of Lent at LutheranPublicRadio.org. Sacred music for the season of Lent, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Smartest listeners in radio, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Are you a homeschool parent looking for help teaching certain subjects? Or do you want your student to study the history, languages, and literature of Western civilization? Memoria Press Online Academy has live online classes with master teachers to help you. Their teachers have years of experience teaching, delighting, and moving students literally from all around the world. Your homeschool year doesn't have to be difficult. Visit MemoriaPressAcademy.com or call 877-745-8866.
This is a message for members of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Thrivent Financial has a charitable grant program called Thrivent Choice. Thrivent Choice allows you to designate charitable outreach funds to Lutheran Public Radio. For more information, look for the Thrivent logo under the Donate page of our website, issuesetc.org, or ask your Thrivent representative about Thrivent Choice. Help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. with Thrivent Choice.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. On this Thursday, the 23rd of March, we're talking with Terry Mattingly about media coverage of the Holy Sepulchre and consequently of the Easter event. He's author of the weekly On Religion column for the Universal Syndicate and the book Pop Goes Religion. Terry, we've been talking about the Associated Press. It also happens at the New York Times. I think you could cite examples, and I'm sure that it's every journalist's life's aspiration to spend at least part of his career in the newsroom of the New York Times.
I'm not sure about that. I mean, there are a lot of normal people who are journalists who would rather live in other parts of the country or whatever. But you're right. I mean, my headline for the original piece on this topic was, "Will someone please explain Christianity to the Associated Press?" And in the original post, I did that as a hat tip to Molly Ziegler-Hemingway, to an infamous piece that she wrote soon after she left Get Religion, and then at the Federalist, and her headline was, "Would someone explain Christianity to the New York Times?" So yes, it's important when these high up the food chain people make mistakes. But once again, have a note of compassion. How would you like to be the Associated Press reporter whose job is covering religion for planet Earth? I've said that to you several times, and it always gets a laugh, because isn't that just ridiculous? I mean, now, there are obviously other Associated Press reporters who cover things related to religion. There's a bureau at the Vatican. There's a bureau in Jerusalem. I'm sure there are people there that have learned some things about religion. But the further you get from the highly skilled, trained religion reporter at AP, who used to be Dick Osling, who now writes for us, Rachel Zoll is her name, the further you get from this one person who has this impossible job, the more likely you are to get reporters and, more importantly, editors at other desks who don't know this material that hard. And, I mean, can you imagine the potential for error? Every time the newspaper used to come out, one of my all-time favorite editors, the Rocky Mountain News, used to call it the 24-hour miracle. And he said, every day we publish a newspaper, I'm amazed we don't have an entire page dedicated to errors. When you consider how much new information and how much new material we produce every day, that we get that entire newspaper out with maybe one error in it is a miracle. So we both need to have compassion for these overworked people in these shrunk newsroom staffs because of the advertising crisis. We need to have some compassion for them, yet at the same time, wrong is wrong. An error is an error. And at some point, journalists really should be learning from some of these errors about religion. And we need to improve our style guides. There's a lot of things we need to do, but more than anything else, we need newsroom managers who realize how important the subject is to life in the United States and around the world, and to understand that if you're going to cover real events and real trends in the lives of real people in the real world, you're going to have to take religion serious.
You mentioned style guides, and you actually suggest at one point that the AP style guide might need to be updated with regard to this subject, just so that, and you know, with one fell swoop, that would improve a lot of reporting on this, because how many news outlets are using the AP style guide?
They should be. I mean, but at the same time, the AP style book says never use the word fundamentalist unless you're describing people who actually claim the word and adhere to the doctrines of Protestant fundamentalism. We could write a book on the misuses of that term just based on 13 years of Get Religion. So a lot of people don't use the AP style book. But you're right. If there was an entry in the AP style book called Holy Week, and maybe it simply went day by day through Palm Sunday to Easter and then had references, and then at the end, see also Feast of the Ascension, see also Feast of the Annunciation, which occurs during Lent, of course, the subject of my column this week. All of these things are detailed, they're picky, and they still matter, though, to millions of people.
Would you talk a bit about the fact that while corrections are often issued on mistakes like this, did you say just a moment ago that the AP story remains, as of our conversation today, uncorrected?
There is a correction on top of it now that says, in a story March 20 about the renovations, the Tomb of Jesus, the Associated Press reported erroneously the edicule was revered, et cetera, et cetera. They got it right on top of the story, but the photo credit's still wrong, which means that somewhere out there, there might be somebody laying out this page looking, the story says this, the photo credit says this, which, what do I do? Or... You know, and I laugh to keep from crying thing. You could have the story printed the way it is fixed. Then you could have the photo right above it say, the, you know, something else for the main feature photograph. So I did a second post about this because of the irony that they still don't have the error wiped out or erased at the level of the photo credit, the tagline, as we call them. This is complicated stuff. And then on top of that, all of these Associated Press newspapers, and there might be hundreds of newspapers that have published this story, are they all going to publish individual corrections now? Some of them that are really, really good will pick this correction up and will publish it in their paper. We apologize for publishing a story that incorrectly described the resurrection of Jesus. But most won't. Which means that all over America, I'm still getting emails from people saying, I can't believe they did this. Don't they know anything? Well, I guarantee you, if they screw up something in the Super Bowl or a presidential election, or somebody makes a horrible error in a story about a major Supreme Court decision, people get on telephones, bulletins are shipped out that say urgent, 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 must correct. Journalism takes a lot of stuff very, very seriously. The point of Get Religion, still to this day, is that when it comes to taking religion equally as serious, they don't get it. And that's why we exist.
Terry, there's a kind of a repeating Saturday Night Live skit. I haven't seen it this season because they've been basically had Trump on the brain. But it's a send-up of Fox News in the morning. And so they have three of the cast members that are playing the people who sit at the couch at Fox News in the morning. And they do a satirical newscast. And then at the very end, they always end the skit the same way. We'd like to run the following corrections for the last hour. And then they scroll very quickly through about 20 feet of corrections. And if you slow it down and pause it, they're hilarious. Absolutely hilarious. But it's kind of their final way of saying at the end of the skit, yes, Fox News is dumb, and they get the news wrong all the time. But it sounds like that particular, what shall I say, stereotype isn't accurate for anybody, and maybe journalism needs to be a little more honest with their corrections.
Well, I mean, I think we've discussed the fact that the New York Times has an excellent corrections desk, unless it's ideological. But errors of fact, the New York Times is fantastic. I've never in 13 years, I don't think we have achieved a correction at the Washington Post. I've even once wrote a column in which I pointed out that a news story was incorrect, made a clear error of fact, and as my proof for it, I linked to two stories in the Washington Post previously that had it right, and they still didn't correct it.
Why is that, Terry? I mean, 13 years without a correction?
I don't know. I think a lot of it is attitude in different parts of newsrooms. A lot of it could be busyness. But back to your point about the Fox News thing, I believe Molly wrote this. If Molly didn't write it, she linked to it. I've been trying to reach her. Molly is everywhere, in case you haven't noticed lately, on television. She's just running around like crazy. But somebody wrote this great satire that sums this all up for us. Imagine the New York Times needing to run this correction. In last Thursday's story, Americans excited to visit ballparks, and ballparks is in scare quotes. The sport of baseball was repeatedly spelled B-A-Y-S-P-A-L-L. The number of bases was given as 5 when the correct number is 3. Home plate is a marker embedded in the ground, not a trophy awarded to the winner of the World Series. Babe Ruth was the popular nickname of George Herman Ruth, generally regarded as the greatest baseballer of the early 20th century and not the African-American mistress of Brooklyn Dodgers owner Walter F. O'Malley, as stated in the article. The Times regrets the errors. Well, I mean, that wouldn't happen, right? That's funny because that would never happen. Folks, there are more people in America in church on Easter Sunday than there are in baseball parks. There are, I mean, Americans, millions of Americans spending billions of dollars, to use the equation many of us who advocate for religion coverage have used over and over, millions of Americans spending billions of dollars go to church, go to mosques, go to synagogues, go to religious institutions, and the Associated Press has one reporter covering religion. Compare the amount of coverage poured out on sports in America compared to religion. Day after day, week after week, entire sections of newsrooms, places with travel budgets 5 times larger than their actual news operation is dedicated to sports in the typical American newsroom. We don't treat religion like a subject that we think influences the news and what influences what happens in the world. And I still remain, here I am in my 60s now fighting this, I still remain stunned at that because it's bad journalism. It simply doesn't allow you to get stories covered well and get them covered accurately. It's the beach I've chosen to die on, you know, in terms of the subject, and Get Religion won't shut up about it.
Terry Mattingly is Senior Fellow for Media and Religion at the King's College in New York City. He's author of the weekly On Religion column for the Universal Syndicate and the book Pop Goes Religion. He's founder and editor of Get Religion. Terry, thanks.
Glad to be here.
If you enjoy our weekly segment with Terry Mattingly on media coverage of religion, you can meet and hear him making the case for news discernment at this summer's Issues Etc. Making the Case conference. It's Friday, June the 9th and Saturday, June the 10th in Collinsville, Illinois, about 15 miles east of St. Louis. You can also hear presentations on the Reformation's relevancy, depression, modern-day prophets and apostles, Lutheran piety, and natural law. Registration for the conference is $120. That includes meals on Friday night and Saturday afternoon and evening. Attendance for the conference is limited to 400, and this annual conference has been sold out the last 2 years. Find out more and register by calling 618-223-8385. 618-223-8385, or visit issuesetc.org. On the other side of the break, we're going to talk about the bound conscience and idolatry. In liberal Lutheranism, the bound conscience has been turned on its head, a good, solid Reformation idea now being used to justify, well, you name it. We'll be right back.
Do you dread going to work out? Performance Fitness in Edwardsville offers a fun, supportive, tight-knit community and environment. Visit them on the web at performancefitness618.com or call 618-692-5063. Performance Fitness is the facility in the St. Louis Metro East where the focus is on member results, not membership numbers. 618-692-5063 or performancefitness618.com. Performance Fitness of Edwardsville.
The 500th anniversary of the Reformation approaches. A good time to ask, who are we as Confessional Lutherans? What's our heritage? The Confessional Lutherans for Christ Commission has produced the Layman's Guide to Theological History. Go to the CLCC.org and see which of these presentations and books would be most helpful to you and your fellow parishioners. And consider becoming a member with us as the CLCC seeks to help more people know what it means to be a Confessional Lutheran. The CLCC.org.
Dr. John Warwick Montgomery says, a secular world desperately needs thinking, rational Christians. This month, read more from Dr. Montgomery and other experts on science and theology by subscribing to the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod's The Lutheran Witness. Visit cph.org/trylutheranwitness for a special offer of $6.99 for six issues. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran perspective. cph.org/trylutheranwitness.
The Reformation's relevancy, natural law, news discernment, modern-day apostles and prophets, depression, catechizing our children. You can meet and hear Issues Etc. regular guests discussing these topics at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 9th and 10th in Collinsville, Illinois. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Registration is $120. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 9th and 10th in Collinsville, Illinois.
Listen to what you want, when you want. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. St. Mark Lutheran, Edmond, Oklahoma. Emmanuel Lutheran, Manchester, New Hampshire. University Lutheran Chapel, Minneapolis, Minnesota. Prince of Peace Lutheran, Freedom, Pennsylvania. Holy Cross Lutheran, O'Fallon, Missouri. St. Paul Lutheran, Indianapolis, Indiana. Christ Lutheran, Rochester, Minnesota. Holy Cross Lutheran, Carlisle, Iowa. St. Peter's Lutheran, Indianapolis, Indiana, and Grace Lutheran, Wellsville, Missouri. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues Etc. 300.